From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with the theme of principles of divine judgment as set forth in chapter 2 of the epistle. The text is found in verses 11 through 16. Paul has made it clear that God will judge every man's works, both of the saved and of the unsaved. As Dr. Cairns has shown, all men know enough of God's law to be judged by it. Since God is absolutely holy, His law requires perfect legal obedience if men are to be accepted and justified before Him. Jesus Christ alone is the standard of God's righteousness, and it is through Him alone that anyone can be saved. According to the Bible, there are no exceptions to this. Paul further teaches that God's righteous requirement extends to both Jew and Gentile. No man can plead ignorance, for God has written His law on every man's heart. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this message called Judgment According to Law and According to Light. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional asks the question, what sanctifies our offerings? The text is found in Leviticus chapter 4 and verse 7. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord. The altar of incense is the place where saints present their prayers and praises, and it is delightful to think of it as sprinkled with the blood of the great sacrifice. This it is which makes all our worship acceptable with Jehovah. He sees the blood of His own Son, and therefore accepts our homage. It is well for us to fix our eyes upon the blood of the one offering for sin. Sin mingles even with our holy things, and our best repentance, faith, prayer, and thanksgiving could not be received of God were it not for the merit of the atoning sacrifice. Many sneer at the blood, but to us it is the foundation of comfort and hope. That which is on the horns of the altar is meant to be prominently before our eyes when we draw near to God. The blood gives strength to prayer, and hence it is on the altar's horns. It is before the Lord, and therefore it ought to be before us. It is on the altar before we bring the incense. It is there to sanctify our offerings and gifts. Come, let us pray with confidence. Since the victim is offered, the merit has been pleaded. The blood is within the veil, and the prayers of believers must be sweet unto the Lord.
Jesus, my blood and Christ,
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Much older until in this very city your children will be forced, I mean forced, to hear that living with sodomites and living as sodomites is just an alternative lifestyle. It is just as acceptable as monogamous heterosexual marriage. That's what's going to happen. It's already happening, and it's going to get worse by the year, and we're going to be faced with this. The standards are sliding. This is one of the great difficulties of preaching the gospel today. People do not have any recognition that some of the things that we're talking about are even blameworthy. Why? Because men have evolved. Even if they don't in their very heart of hearts honestly accept them, and only God knows what they're thinking there, they've evolved standards by which they judge themselves. Remember this? To most people in power in the United States, it's not Ralph Nader and the earth worshipping tree huggers. It's not the left-wing communists. It's not even Islam. And it's certainly not the Sodomite movement that threaten America. In their eyes, the greatest threat to America is a people who believe that book. I will not endorse all that President Bush says or believes theologically. Far from it. But when I hear both sides of the Atlantic, the greatest ground of criticism is that he believes that book. That he actually prays about his decisions. That scares these people. There's where we have got. Men and women understand this. When we stand before God, we're not going to be judged by the mores of the age in which we live. We are not going to be judged by the standards of those around about us. We're not going to be accounted righteous because we are a step behind them in their immorality or their wickedness. Those who have this law will be judged by this law. But then there are people who have never had that written law. And according to the first part of verse 12, those who have sinned apart from this law will be judged without reference to it. But according to what we go on to read, they will be judged by the law that God has written on their hearts. Verse 13 tells us, not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law. For, verse 14, when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature, that means instinctively, spontaneously, by nature, by their constitution as God's creatures, when they do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. What does he mean? He says when the Gentiles who have never had the written law of God yet do things, some things, that are contained in that written law, they obviously, without that written law, show that they are a law unto themselves. What does that mean? It means that they have in their nature and in their constitution a divinely placed, as Charles Hodge put it, rule of duty, a knowledge of right and wrong, and a sense of obligation, that is, to God. If you want to see this in operation, you can go back to the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 26, where you read of the heathen King Abimelech. Isaac denied his wife, said she was his sister. She was a very beautiful woman, and he was afraid that one of these people, these heathen, having not the fear of God, as Isaac thought, would look at her and decide he was expendable. And if they just got rid of him, she would be available. And so he said, just say you're my sister. Abimelech came to know that. We read in verses 9 and 10 of Genesis 26, Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety she's thy wife. And how saidst thou, she is my sister? Now here's a heathen, and he knows lying is wrong. He knows that. How did you say she's my sister? Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. Strong husband, wasn't he? Lest I die for her. I'd rather lie than die, even at the cost of my wife. God help us when the Church of Christ is full of wimps like Isaac. I don't want to pursue that. I'd better watch it. But listen, here's the heathen. And Abimelech said, "What is this that thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldst have brought," notice the word, "guiltiness upon us." He's a heathen. He never saw the law of Moses in his life. It hadn't even been written yet. But he had something in his heart. Verse 15 says, people like him show the work of the law written in their heart. Now let me just clear up something here as I sidle past this. Many great preachers, some of the ones I most admire, deny that the Bible says anything about the law written in the heart. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his, in many ways, incomparable series of messages in Romans, spends quite a bit of time giving three reasons why we're not to believe the law has been written on the human heart. Lloyd-Jones is usually profound. I don't find any profoundness in these reasons, and I have to say that I just shook my head, could not believe that this is where he had come. John Murray, the great Westminster theologian, made the same statement. Leon Morris makes the same statement. They tell us the Bible doesn't say the law is written in the heart. The Bible says the work of the law is written in the heart. Well, if ever there was a distinction without a difference, that's it. The work of the law is written in the heart. Now, what on earth does that mean? What does it mean? Modern commentators and translators tell us very often they will translate it, the work of the law is the requirements of the law. But listen, the requirement of the law is law. When the law says thou shalt not, that is law. That's a requirement, but that's law. I mean, here is a distinction that really cannot be pressed. Except in one way. Both Lloyd-Jones and Murray point out that when God says he has written his law upon the heart, that is a definition of regeneration, the new birth. And that's true. But we should not be misled by the similarity of language. When he says the work of the law is written in the heart, he's not denying that the law is written. What he's saying is, what is written on their heart is the law at work. That's what they're showing. The law that is written in their heart is at work. And what is that work? It's a work of accusation and a work of condemnation. I don't have time to pursue this tonight. What is the work of the law? Whether the law of Moses or the law in the heart, the law is not an instrument of salvation. Now, that's a bold statement. And again, I'm a little tempted to go up a few side alleys before I reach my destination. If you notice this movement that's so popular in the United States, we have a great breakdown in morality. We need to get the Ten Commandments back in schools. I'm all in favor of posting the Ten Commandments in schools. I'm all in favor of teaching the Ten Commandments in schools. But this is a notion by people who speak of this vague Judeo-Christian ethic. Hogwash. Nonsense. Unless the law is used as the Bible uses it to condemn the sinner and conduct him to Christ, it will leave sinners where they are, more damned than ever. There's no saving power in the law. There was never intended to be any saving power in the law. The saving power is in the law keeper, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this carefully. They show the work of the law, that condemning, accusing power, that cursing power of the law in their heart, their conscience also bearing witness. So their conscience bears witness along with the law that's written in the heart. The word for conscience is a word that signifies knowing along with something else. They know that what the innate law says is right. Other scriptures lead me to believe that the conscience may be perverted. It may be darkened because of our darkened understanding. But every man knows that there is a right and a wrong. Again, this is a vast area that I'm not really going to get into tonight. The Roman Catholic Church has spun a fine web of theory on what is called natural law. Some unwitting Protestants have signed on as if we can be ruled by natural law. Can't happen. Richard Baxter pointed out centuries ago that God has written his law on the heart. That's natural law. He stamped his being and his power and his wisdom and all his creation. There is a natural law. But for centuries, men have been reflecting upon that natural law. And man's reflections on the law are not themselves law. They're just reflections. And the more he reflects, the more he deviates. That's the problem. Man's understanding is so darkened that it can misinstruct the conscience. And there are people who, in good conscience, just look at what's happening in the Middle East, in good conscience, believing it is right because their understanding is so perverted, and in good conscience, either themselves or encourage someone else to become suicide bombers. That should let you see what the role of conscience is. Martin Luther said it's never safe to go against your conscience, and that's true. But notice what Paul is teaching, that the sole role of conscience is passing judgment in the light of the law written in the heart on what has already happened. Listen to me very carefully. Conscience is not the arbiter of what is right and what is wrong. That book is the arbiter of what is right and what is wrong. Conscience must be instructed by the light of God's law and God's truth. And a conscience uninstructed in that light will be a conscience that will sanction even the vilest things. But at its worst, conscience operates to say the law written on the heart is right. So all the world stands guilty, condemned by law, and condemned by conscience.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.